How many deer did you see?
Quite a lot of them.
No bucks?
6 or 8, no. But it's kind of fun just to watch them.
Yeah. Where were you?
Right here.
Oh, really?
That's my favorite little spot. That's where Grandpa was sitting many long years ago. I have hunted now 69 consecutive years without missing a deer season. I started hunting in 1946 at age 12. And for the family, deer hunting was much, much more than shooting a deer. Why do you get up at 5:30 in the morning, got you 20 degrees, freeze your tail off, stumble through the dark to try and find where you're supposed to sit? I mean, why in God's creation would anybody do that? Stupid. Not really. It's a tradition. It's a family gathering. It's a storytelling event. It's something that's much, much more than just getting some meat for the table. Oh, we had the stories to tell. Every deer season has a story to tell. 1992, my dad was not feeling well, and I noticed that he had trouble catching his breath. I said, "Pa, are you planning on going deer hunting this year?" And he didn't say anything for a minute. He said, "Yeah, I got to go down to Watoma and get my license. I haven't gotten my license yet." And so on the opening day of deer season, I stopped by his house in Wild Rose to pick him up, 5:30 in the morning, pitch dark. I come in the house, and there he sits on the chair. He has a 30-30 Savage lever-action deer rifle that he bought in the 40s. He's got it across his lap. He's got his orange coat ready to go. I mean, he's ready to go deer hunting. And so we get in the truck, and I said, where do you want to stand? He says, "Well, I really don't want to stand. I've got a chair here. You got to bring this chair along." And he said, "I want to sit down by the pond." And so he sits down right where we are right now. I go off to my stand. Well, this is what happened. He got cold, and so he started walking around a little bit. And he walked up on top of the hill. And there he ran into Steve, my son, his grandson. And Steve had with him his friend. His friend, Rick, was a deputy sheriff. He knew firearms. They both had, I think at the time, 30-30 Winchesters with scopes, the whole schmear. And they're up on the hill. And my dad comes up and stands with them and they talk a little bit. And then they see three deer way off, 200 and some yards away. We measured it later. And they're running. And one of them's a buck. And Rick and Steve, they commence shooting at these deer. I mean, each one of them shot 3 or 4 times. They never touched them. And my dad said, "Which one is the buck?" He had open sights, no fancy anything, just this open sight, 30-30 lever action Savage. And Steve says, "The second one." And my dad pulls up, bang, lever action, bang, the buck deer falls. We walk over to the deer. He shot it twice in the neck at 200 plus yards. He's 92 years old. We're all standing there like, what is going on? He's got a big smirk on his face. He doesn't say anything. "Why'd you shoot him in the neck?" "Well, I didn't want to waste any meat." I don't know if he was just plain lucky or if somebody, something knew that this was his last hunt and they would give him a chance. I don't know what was going on. But it's a story that will remain in the family forever. It's a powerful story. And this year, at the beginning of deer season, which was yesterday, I sat in a chair at the very spot where he sat. I could almost hear him in the wind. You could feel his presence. I don't know if I was even so much aware of it as I am today, but in 1966, when we started coming here, acquired the place, I had in the back of my head the idea that I would like this place, insofar as possible, to look like it did before it was first settled. In other words, what did Tom Stewart see when he came here in 1867? which is when he homesteaded the place, Civil War veteran. Now, is that some kind of a payback for the values that I've experienced in spending time here? I suspect it is. It is very hard for me to even say what it is that my family and I have gained from this place. I'm still in search of that kind of mysterious, almost mystical dimension to a piece of land and how it affects the people who are on it. How this piece of land has ultimately influenced me, my wife, my kids, and my grandkids. I don't know that now completely. I'll keep looking for it.
Dear Grandpa, I don't think I've ever told you how much the farm has meant to me. So often, you have been open about how you feel about it. And because of this, I feel bad that I have not reciprocated my feelings. The farm is a treasure, one that is highly complex, and one from which I have so much more to discover. I cherish the moments when you teach me things that otherwise I would never have cared to know. The farm offers a place that brings our family together.
Dear Grandpa, I remember when I was younger the excited feeling of seeing deer. You once pointed out a buck, and by the time I caught a glimpse, it was running away from our noise, and I was sprinting after it to get a better look. When I got back, you had a big smile on your face and asked sarcastically if I caught up to it. I'll also never forget how nervous my mom was when you let me drive the gator for the first time. The excitement of that moment
still sticks with me. These are memories that I don't think I'll ever forget. You've taught me how to garden. You've taught me about the different kinds of wildlife, and the flowers and the trees. You've taught me how to be patient and quiet and just listen and watch. But most importantly, you've taught me how to appreciate the farm and everything it has to offer. Thank you, Grandpa.
Cross our fingers.